Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit of God to unfold and unveil the living word to us, praise God, and the written word to us. Amen. And so we thank you that we're all in faith together, standing for you, believing that you'll get across exactly what you want us to see tonight, and remind us of the truth and help us to see things that we need to see and understand things that we need to understand. I thank you that people have ears to hear. They don't let it go in one ear and out the other. No, they take the Word of God to heart. They're hungry for the truth. Amen. And they hear and understand the truth. And most importantly, they go out and they're doers of the Word they hear. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, let's begin tonight in Proverbs chapter 3. I want to continue. I wanted to do one last message on heart faith versus head faith. Heart faith versus head faith. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 3 has been our main text for this. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." The Amplified Bible, the New Amplified Bible says this, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight and understanding." Amen. So we've seen that real Bible faith, I noticed over the years, you know, sometimes ministries, sometimes they're really well known, sometimes they're worldwide known. But, you know, as they get older and they go on to be with the Lord, sometimes their books fade away, sometimes they don't. But a lot of people, anybody that's any kind of faith teacher at all that wrote a lot of books, somewhere along the line, they usually wrote one that said real Bible faith. Because there's so many things that people call faith is not faith at all. And so we've seen that real Bible faith, faith that receives the promises, faith that overcomes, is of the heart. We believe in the heart, in the heart. And we've seen that to believe with the heart means to believe what God's Word says to us apart from what our physical senses and mind tells us. We believe what the Word of God says apart from what our mind and senses tell us. Can you say amen? So as the New Testament says, we should walk by faith and not by sight. Of course, sight is representative of all our physical senses. And, you know, our senses feed information into our mind, and then we reason things and come up with mental, logical conclusions based on natural evidence. Amen. But the natural world can't reveal God to us. The things of God and spiritual truths are revealed to us by the Spirit through the Word of God. Glory to God. And so tonight I really want to focus on this main theme. We'll get into some other things here, but I want to focus on how to get God's Word in your heart. Amen. Because we're to believe God, amen, with our heart. So or how to get a revelation of God's Word in our heart. Because we really cannot walk by faith and not by sight. We really cannot trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our understanding, or just simply say it this way, we can't operate in real Bible faith unless we first get a revelation of God's Word in our heart. Now, you have to know the Word, but then you have to really know the Word. I mean, if you don't know the Word, you're certainly not going to have a revelation of it. But even if you know what the Word of God says, that doesn't mean that it's a living Word on the inside of you, that it's a living revelation on the inside of you. It's one thing to know God's Word and to agree with it. It's another thing to really, really believe it and act on it no matter what your senses tell you. Now, let's look at Psalms. You're right there in Proverbs. Just turn back, you know, to Psalms 119. I don't guess you're going to turn back in your phone, but whatever you're looking at. Psalms 119, verse number 30. Psalms 119, 130. And this says, "The entrance of your word gives light." New Testament says, you know, God's word is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And His word is light. His word is revelation. His word is the truth. And the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Thank God His word is light. And you see, when people don't know the truth, when they don't know the truth, then they're in darkness. Amen. They may not know it. They may be deceived. But when we don't know the truth of God's word in any area of our lives, then we're operating in the realm of darkness. And people that don't know the word, when people don't have revelation of the truth of God's word, when the word of God's not giving them light, then they stumble in darkness, in ignorance, in natural ignorance, in spiritual ignorance. is the leading cause of death in the world today. Amen. Not knowing the truth of God's word. People suffer unnecessarily when they don't know the truth, when they're not walking in the light. They do without unnecessarily when they don't walk in the light. They believe things that are not true. They have philosophies that are not true when they don't operate in the light. They believe things about themselves that are not true. They believe things about God that are not true. They believe things about God that are not true. And those lies hurt them in all kinds of ways. And the devil mightily takes advantage of people, amen, that don't know the truth. See, he's always looking, he's always lurking, and always trying to, lurking around, I should say. You know, he's always lurking around. He's trying to keep people from the light. He doesn't want them to operate in the light. He wants them to operate in the darkness. He can take advantage of them when they operate in the darkness. So he's always trying to keep people from the light. And when people get light, he immediately comes. You know, the Bible says to steal the word. When people get light, then he immediately tries to put that light out. He tries to tell them to not believe that. Amen. Glory to God. Because he knows when you know the truth, then the truth will make you free. Anything but the truth, if it's not true, it won't make you free. You know, when Brother Hagin was raised off the deathbed, this is a story that we want to talk about here a minute, because it illustrates that, you know, what I'm talking about. The entrance of his word gives light. Thank God for light. Thank God for light. But when he was healed of a deformed heart, paralysis, and a blood disease, among other things. I mean, any one of those three would have killed him, the doctor said. But he had other problems too, and five different doctors told him he had to die, that as far as they knew, nobody had ever lived past the age of 17 in his condition. And so he was healed by the power of God and got up and walked around his room, but his family didn't know anything about that. Now, he's still weak, you know, because he's been healed, but he still had to gain his strength back. I mean, he said that right after he was healed, you know, he was 6'2" and weighed 85 pounds. Can you imagine me 100 pounds lighter? I'd still weigh over 85 pounds. Weighed 85 pounds, and I'm 5'10". And so he was healed, and so the next day he talked his mother into, he said, I want you to lay out my clothes. Now you gotta understand, he's paralyzed, she's having to bathe him, she's having to take care of him. Some days he would do a little better than others. They could prop him up on a pillow. You know, he's paralyzed from the waist down. And some days he said he'd have a little strength, you know, early in the morning, but by mid-morning, he said, it might take me 15 or 20 minutes using every ounce of concentration I could to just turn one page of the Bible. But he talked his mother into laying out his clothes. And he said, it took me 45 minutes to convince her to lay out my clothes. But she finally agreed to it, and she laid out his clothes. So the next morning, by design, this was his plan, he heard his grandpa, he lived with his grandparents on his mother's side at that time, he heard his grandfather outside swinging on the porch swing. You know, getting up from the porch swing. He said, ain't no use looking at your clock, that means it's 7:30, and he's going to the breakfast table. So he said, I'd already gotten up, I'd gotten dressed, none of them know about it. They believed, you know, he went to a church, even though he wasn't saved until he was on the deathbed, but he did go to church at times, and he went to one of those churches that obviously strongly said, you know, these things have been done away, and healing is not for today, and the power of God, you know, we don't see these kind of things today. And so he said, Grandpa, he said, I gave him time to get to the breakfast table and for Mama and her mother to get to the breakfast table, then I walked in there. He said, they're already sitting down, you know. And he said, when they saw me, my grandfather looked up and said, is the dead raised? Is Lazarus raised up? He said, yeah, Grandpa, God raised me up. And he sat out and had breakfast. He said, it didn't take long to eat breakfast because he said, you didn't talk at Grandpa's table. Nobody did. You know, particularly at somebody that wasn't an adult. And he said, so it doesn't take long to eat when you know, don't talk. And so he said, I got back to my room and, you know, I noticed it's 7:50. And he said, I went over and you know, began to just lay over the bed there. And he said, I told myself, I'm going to sit here and rest a minute because, like I said, you know, people said he looked like a walking skeleton. He's healed all right by the power of God, but, you know, he's got to gain his strength back. He's got to put some you know, get some food in him and so forth. And he said, I'm going to do, he told himself, he said, I'm going to rest here a little, just a few minutes, lie across the bed and rest a few minutes. And then I'm going to get up and go outside and sit on the swing with Grandpa. And then I'm going to walk downtown. Downtown from where he lived was just three or four blocks away. I'm going to do that. So he said, I lay down. He's always a big one to watch the clock. He said, I noticed it was 7:50. He said, I woke up and looked at the clock, and it was 8 o'clock. hadn't been asleep very long. And he said, when I woke up immediately, he said, immediately I heard this voice. He said, it was in a very deep, you know, like solemn, like this voice. And this voice said, he said, to me it was audible. Now, whether it was actually audible or not, I don't know. Maybe if you'd have been in the room, you'd have heard it. Maybe you wouldn't have been. But he said, it's like, he said, it's just audible voice to me. And it said in a very deep voice, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Well, he knew that was scripture. And then he said, then there was a pause. And then the voice said, and today thou shalt surely die. Well, that's what the prophet, you know, told Hezekiah. Today you shall surely die. Well, he said, that was just audible. He said, I thought God was standing right in the room next to me. He said, because I'm hearing this audible voice and it's quoting scriptures. I recognize that as scripture. He said, I hadn't hardly read any of the Old Testament. He said, you know, because he got saved and he wanted to know about God. And in the early days, he didn't know how long he was going to live. So he said, I'm going to start in the New Testament. But he said, I knew that scripture was in James. And so he said, I thought God was moving supernaturally. And he said, you know, and so these thoughts, now thoughts came to his mind. You know, thoughts come from the outside. Thoughts come from the inside by the Holy Ghost, but from the devil they come from the outside. So this is an audible voice, but now these thoughts come to his mind, and these thoughts say, now you prayed, you know you prayed, because the doctor told you to stay ready. You could just die at any time. The doctor told you to stay ready, and you had prayed and said, Lord, let me know when I'm going to die, so I'll have time to go out and say goodbye to my family and, you know, have a pleasant experience with them before I come home to be with you. And he said, so these thoughts come to his mind, you know, outside thoughts come to his mind, said, God's allowed that to happen. You know, you've had dinner with you, breakfast with you, with all of them, and had a chance to say to them. And then the voice, not a voice, but again, thoughts came to his mind. He said, you know, the scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Of course, you've got to understand, this is Kenneth Hagin when he's 17 years old. Not Kenneth Hagin after he's been in the ministry for 30 years and 40 years and 50 years and 60 years and 70 years. He didn't know any better. You know, of course, that scripture doesn't say that everybody has an appointed, it says everybody has an appointment with death, but it does not say there's an appointed specific time for you to die. You know, when your time's up, that's just it. Does not say that. Couldn't say that. First place, it doesn't say it, but it couldn't say that because if you're just in the book of Proverbs alone, it says there's things you can do to lengthen your life, and there's things you can do to shorten your life. But, you know, it's commonly in the churches I grew up believed it. No, there's a set time, and when that set time comes, that's just your time. You know, I imagine them up there in heaven playing bingo, you know. And they just pull out a number. B29. Oh, that's John. So it's your time. No, there's not an appointment, you know. We all have an appointment with death. And not everybody's going to make that appointment. The people that go up in the rapture, they won't even make that appointment. And then plus, besides the book of Proverbs, Old Testament and New Testament, we have many scriptures that promise us long life. Thank God for that. But he didn't know that, you know, that particular time. And so he hears this audible voice. Then these thoughts come to his mind. Amen. Glory to God. And so he said he thought God's in the room. So he's having all these different thoughts, you know. Today you're going to surely die. And these thoughts further said, you've been healed all right. You've been healed all right. Not going to deny it. See, the devil couldn't fight him on that. See, he had light and revelation on divine healing. Now, he didn't have light and revelation on divine healing when this whole process started. When he was first sick, he'd call for ministers. Most of them never even came to his house. Call for ministers in his own church to come, you know, because he wanted to ask them questions because he was reading scriptures. He was reading Mark 11, 24. He was seeing a Jesus of the Bible that healed, and he wanted to ask them questions along those lines. And the devil would say to him, healing's not for today. Healing's not for today. Healing's not for today. It's been done away with. It's been passed away with because a couple of the preachers that came to him told him that. But he kept studying, you know. So he'd get a little light, then the devil would come immediately try to put the light out. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. And so he read over there where it says, you know, in James it says, the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. And now the Holy Ghost on the inside, or the Spirit on the inside, you know, thoughts floated up from his spirit to his mind saying, have you ever heard anybody say that faith's been done away with? Got light. Praise God. No, I never heard that. And he had that sense on the inside. Your faith can make you whole, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Her faith made her whole, and your faith can make you whole. There's light. There's revelation. The entrance of his word gives light. But then here's the devil. You know, that over there in James, where it talks about, you know, the prayer of faith, James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So now the devil doesn't deny that he can be healed, but the devil says, okay, that's right, you could be healed. Faith hadn't been done away with. You got light on that. I'm just making this up, but you know, in other words, the devil's to himself, I can't talk you out of that, so I'll just give up on that, but you're not righteous. If you were righteous, you could pray the prayer of faith, but you're not righteous. You know you're not righteous. You know that even after you got saved, you've done a couple, even lying here on this bed, you've said a couple of things and done a couple of things that you shouldn't have done. And of course, because he didn't know any better at that time, he thought, that's right, I'm not righteous. Oh, if I could just somehow be good enough, if I could just be righteous enough. So he had to get light on that. You understand what I'm saying? And he did get light on that and was raised up from the deathbed. So now this voice is not this voice, but the devil, through the audible voice and through thoughts coming to his mind, saying, you're healed. So you're not going to challenge that anymore. Can't talk about it. You've been healed. Nobody can deny that. But here God has done this and moved supernaturally. You know, there's an appointed time to die, and your time has come, and you've already said goodbye to your family, so you're going to die today. And Brother Hagin said, mixing my own thoughts with that, I thought, God's moved supernaturally. He's moved spectacularly. He's moved in this unusual way so I could tell everybody goodbye and let me know. Amen. Glory to God. You know, if Brother Hagin would have continued to believe that, he would have relapsed and he would have died and you would have never heard his name. Because at first he thought it was God talking to him. You know, he was resting on the bed. He said, I got up, and he said, I tiptoed across the room and sat out in a chair. Because, see, he wants to reverence God because he thinks God's just in the room with him. He said, I got over there, and I sat down in that chair at 8 a.m. in the morning, and I sat in that chair and waited until 2:30 that afternoon to die. Just sitting there waiting to die. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. I said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He said, around 2:30 on the inside, words from the Holy Spirit revealed to my spirit. You know, that's how it works. It just seemed to float up to my mind. You know, it comes from your spirit, but then your spirit's got to make it known to your mind. And so these words floated up to my mind, and I heard this, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, that's the 91st Psalm. That's the word. That's the truth. That's light. That's revelation. So a little bit of hope begins to arise. But but you got to understand, he didn't even know that was in the Bible. He had never read the 91st Psalm. He didn't know what that meant. And so he said, as I sat there and thought about it, a little light came. But he said, because I had no clue at that particular time, he said, as I turned it over and over in my mind, I thought, no, God's moved in this special way. God's moved in this unusual way. You got to learn, everything spectacular is not God. Everything that's shiny and flashy is not God. Did you know that? Just because somebody talks in a deep voice and says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it's God. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God in the March. I'm talking about this year. In the March, when the flowers bloom. And then the implication is Trump's going to be reinstated. Ooh, that's so good. Really? That's the same one that said he would be president on January 20th. That's the same one that said when they did the Electoral College vote in December whatever, that would all be changed and they would announce him as president. That's the same one that said on election night he would be president. Yeah, but they said it in such a spooky voice. That's not hard to judge, folks. When it doesn't come to pass, that's not hard to judge. Like the one lady said, I go to those meetings over there and they never prophesy anything good to me. She said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, for instance, they prophesied that my husband was going to leave me. Well, did they give a date on that? They said, yeah, they said it'd be within the next year. How long ago has that been? She goes, oh, let's see, that's been about 2 years ago. That's not hard to judge. That's not God. Amen. He said, so a little time goes by and I heard that again. With long life, I will satisfy you. Again, he dismissed it. You know, a lot of times people dismiss the truth. Now, you can know what the truth is, but still not have a revelation of it in your heart. But the whole process, so you got to know what the Bible says. You can know by his stripes you're healed, but not really believe it in your heart yet. But if you hear by his stripes you were healed and you just dismiss it because it just goes against the grain of your religious brainwashed mind, and you just that couldn't be true, then we're not going anywhere. And see, that's what he's doing. He's just dismissing it because, you know, because this seems so spectacular. This seems so, I mean, you know, you hear a supernatural voice. Amen. So he said a third time he came, and he said this time it was much more authoritative. Now learn something about being led by the Spirit. Most of the time we're led by the Spirit. It's just that inner knowing, you just have that inner knowing, and he had that inner knowing that he with long life, but now it's more authoritative. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the voice of the Holy Ghost. You're not hearing it on the outside, but on the inside it's a little stronger, a little more authoritative. And he said he heard it this time on the inside, more authoritative, with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He said, this time I just spoke up and said, who said that? And he said, what I meant by that is, who's talking to me? And he said, instantly he heard the 91st Psalm. And so he said, I got out my Bible. It's a good thing. He had sat there from 8 o'clock that morning to 2:30 and hadn't looked at his Bible, but now he picks up his Bible, he turns it to the 91st Psalm, begins to read it, and you know, you got to get all the way toward the end there, and there it was. Glory to God, there it was. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So here's some light, here's some revelation. Hey, you know, I'm just 17 years old. That's certainly not living a long life. And here's a scripture that says that God promised me long life. So here's some hope, here's some faith, here's some light. But then here's the devil. See, the devil doesn't want us to have any light. He wants to keep people from the truth. And so here comes the devil and says, well, that's Old Testament. I always think it's funny people just saying, that's Old Testament. I want to say, well, why don't you just cut out the Old Testament and just burn it, never read it? Do you know how many times the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John uses an Old Testament passage to make New Testament points and even New Testament doctrine? And God hasn't changed. We're not under the Mosaic law, but we are under the all kinds of, you know, principles and laws from the Old Testament. And so, but he had those thoughts. You know, here's the devil trying to put out the light. That's just for the Jews. It's not for you. Yeah, they had, see, you can't argue with that. Yeah, they could have long life, but that's not for you. So it puts out the light. And again, he's still thinking, well, you know. But he decided to run his cross references. You know how you run your cross references? And so in running his cross references, see, he saw those scriptures in Proverbs that talked about things you could do to have long life. He saw those scriptures that promised you long life. Amen. And then, but here's the devil. Here's some light. Here's light. The entrance of his word gives light. Here's light. Light will help you. Light will bless you. Life will cause you not to die in this case. It's kind of important, isn't it? But here's the devil saying, that's still just Old Testament. But he continued to run his references, and he saw that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, both in the New Testament, made reference to long life. You know, it says, you know, Paul said, if you children obey your parents, you'll have a long life. And then Peter said, if you refrain your tongue from evil, you'll see good days and have long life. And so here's scriptures from both ends of the Bible that promise long life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when he got light, instead of dying, he jumped up out of that chair. See, the devil can't put out the light now. He jumped up out of that chair and he said, devil, that's you, not God. That's you. That's you that spoke to me in that audible voice. That's you giving me all those crazy thoughts. Again, the devil can move supernaturally. Remember the Bible talks about how he disguises himself as an angel of light? I say that because, you know, you're a mature group, but you got to understand around the body of Christ, particularly around Pentecostal charismatic services, there are a lot of people that are really messed up because they have their own revelations, because they think some angel said this to them or that to them, or they hear this voice or that voice, and they like hearing those voices, and it doesn't matter whether it agrees with the Word of God, that's what they're going to believe, that's what they're going to stick with, and it just really messes them up. I remember this outstanding story. It actually involves Brother Hagin too. He was at a church preaching for a pastor, and this pastor's a, you know, he's a Pentecostal pastor. This pastor believes in divine healing. This pastor lays hands on the sick. This pastor gets people healed. Brother Hagin's preaching for him. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He said, but he had a physical problem. He said, you know, it was some kind of sickness or disease, one of those kind of things that wasn't going to kill you tomorrow, wasn't going to kill you in the next 10 years or the next 15 years or the next 20 years or the next 30 years. It was probably at some point going to cut your life short, but he said it did hinder him. And as time went along, it got harder and harder for him. You know, he's living with this, in other words, and it's harder and harder for him to function. So he's just in his mid-50s, and he's going to resign from his church as being a pastor because of this physical condition. So Brother Hagin finally said to him, because he knew the man, he said, why don't you let the Lord heal you? And the man said, he said, well, you know, Brother Hagin, he said, I believe in the healing ministry. I believe in what you do. I lay hands on the sick myself. He said, but it's not God's will to heal me. And Brother Hagin said, why in the world would you think that? And then the man said, he said, I was in bed one night. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I had this experience. Here comes a man dressed in sandals and a white robe, in other words, Jesus. And he said, he walked through the door. And he said, I walked over to my bedside. I looked down. I could see his feet. I could see his sandals. I could see this white robe. And I looked up. He said, I never looked at his face. And this voice said, it's not my will to heal you. So this man said, you know, I've got this divine revelation from heaven. I don't know why, but I just already know it's not God's will to heal me. Well, if you don't know it's God's will to heal you, you're certainly not going to have any faith for it, are you? Well, sometimes you have to kind of sneak up on people to help them see the truth. See, he's operating in darkness. That's not the truth. That's not the light. But how are you going to get that over to this man? Because he's had this supernatural visitation. He thinks Jesus has appeared to him. In his mind, Jesus did appear to him. It's like I'm saying, there's people out there that are so religiously brainwashed, you just tell them something simple about faith or about the power of God or about healing, they're almost horrified. They're almost like, oh my God. You know, because you can't get to first base with them unless they'll open up their heart. And so Brother Hagin said this to him. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, you've got a brother that's not saved. He goes, that's right. He said, you've been praying for him for a long time, hadn't you? He goes, oh, yes, a long time. Brother Hagin said, I know about that. I prayed with you about that, for him to get saved. He said, what if your brother said to you, I was in my bedroom. It's not God's will for me to save me, because I was in my bed one night, and this man dressed in a robe and white robe and sandals, walked through the door and walked right over to me and walked right up to my bed and looked down at me and said, it's not my will to save you. Well, this pastor, friend of Brother Hagin, said, well, I tell him I don't care how many so-called spirits appeared to you or what you thought that was. That wasn't Jesus. That couldn't have been Jesus, because that contradicts the truth. Don't you believe? And then he went, oh, I see it. That wasn't Jesus at all that spoke to me, was it? Brother Hagin said, it couldn't have been, because it's not in line with the Word. And the man got healed. And continued to pastor that church and pastored it on for years and years and years and years and years. But anyway, when Brother Hagin, glory to God, that's all right. The Word. So when Brother Hagin got that revelation, you know, that was the devil talking to him, he jumped up and he said, devil, that's you. That's not God. And he said, I shouted at the top of my lungs, I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to shout for the baby back there. He said, I'm not going to shout today. I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to die tomorrow. I'm not going to die next week. I'm not going to die next year. I'm not going to die in the next 5 years. I'm not going to die in the next 10 years. I'm not going to die in the next 25 years. I'm not going to die in the next 30 years. I'm not going to die in the next 40 years. I'm not going to die in the next 50 years. And I'm not going to die in the next 55 years. He said, I quit right there because I'm a 17-year-old and 55 years from 17 seemed big to me then. But at that time, when I heard him tell the story, he was already older than that. He said, I added to that since then. And he did. He lived another 70 years beyond that day where he had that experience. Glory to God. My point is, the devil wants to keep you in the dark about your marriage, about your family, about your health, about your emotions, about your relationships, about forgiveness. Doesn't matter. He wants to keep us in the dark. And if we do get some light, he comes immediately and tries to put that light out. Because being in the dark, not knowing the truth, will trouble you. It will hurt you. It will hinder you. Those in the dark open the door to the devil. They are themselves in great deception. And deception and darkness and not knowing the truth always manifests itself in some sort of confusion or some sort of unhappiness or some sort of wrong belief or some sort of wrong attitude or some sort of wrong thinking and some sort of wrong behavior and some sort of bondage or misery in some kind of way. And there are all kind of people stumbling in the dark and they don't even know they're in the dark. Glory to God. So we should always, 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 always examine everything we hear in the light of the Word of God. And don't believe anything that's not in line with the Word of God. Say, well, my grandma believed it, and my grandpa believed it, and my mother believed it, and I'm sure they were lovely, but if it's not in line with the Word of God, we just need to go with the Word. Don't let the devil put you out. Amen. But notice Psalms 119 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It did not say his word gives you light. There's a whole lot of people all over the world that don't have any light, but the word's available to everybody. It says the entrance of his word gives light. The entrance of his word gives light. It doesn't give us light. It doesn't enlighten us. It doesn't help us. It doesn't bless us. It doesn't give us faith. It doesn't give us a revelation until it gains entrance into our heart. Again, say it with me. Say, the entrance of his word gives me light. John put it this way, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we say, and it's not totally inaccurate, but we say the truth shall make you free. But that's not what it said. It said knowledge of the truth shall make you free. Knowledge of the truth shall make you free. Amen. And so when we have knowledge of the truth, when we have and the word knowledge there means intimate truth, revelation knowledge in essence. When we have knowledge, when we have revelation of the word, amen. Let me put it this way. When we have revelation of the word, we have knowledge that gives us light, then, and only then do we really believe it in our hearts. It must gain entrance into our heart. We must get a revelation of it. Now, if you reject the truth when you hear it, I ain't believing that stuff. You know, the reason Brother Hagin failed for that so big was because that's all he heard from his church. It's been done away with. 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 Well, you know, try to convince that of somebody that's been raised off the deathbed. So the most important thing to know is then, or the most important question then is, how do you get a revelation? How do you get a revelation? How does the word gain entrance into your heart? How does it become a rhema word to us? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word there is rhema. I mean, how does it become a rhema word to you? So that we do trust in the Lord with all our heart. And so that we are not moved off the word by the pressure of the circumstances and the pressure of the symptoms and what our head tells us. And so that we act like what God's word says is true in everyday life, in everyday reality. That's when it works for us. So how do we get a revelation? Let's turn over and look at Luke 6:6. Luke 6. This is the story, you know, that Jesus told about the man that built his house on the rock. And most of the time, most people read this out of Matthew's gospel, and it's very good there, but there's a particular aspect of it in Luke's gospel that I want to point out to you tonight that's relative to what we're talking about, because you have to put it all together to see the full truth. But in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the storm beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. One person heard the word, but he didn't do it. Now, it is important that you hear the word. You can't be a doer of the word if you don't first hear it. But again, as the Spirit of God seems to be emphasizing tonight, if you reject the word that you hear, then we're not even giving the first base. Because just because you hear it doesn't mean you fully believe it in your heart yet, but you do have to hear it and accept it. So you must hear the word. That's important. And there's still millions of people around the world who have never heard the truth, or there are a lot of truths they've never heard. They've heard the truth about salvation, maybe, but not about a lot of other things. So we have to hear the word. Hear the word. Amen. And by the way, you know, people read this and they just glance at it and they say, Jesus is the rock. Well, Jesus is the rock of our salvation, but that's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about being a doer of the word. Those that are hearers and doers of the word, they're the ones that have built their house on a rock, or in other words, on a firm foundation, a solid foundation. And when your house is built on that solid, firm foundation, because you are a hearer and a doer of the word, then your house won't fall. Amen. And so he says, and then as you read this, it's quite obvious that the same storm came to both houses. Especially read it in Matthew's gospel, just word for word. The winds blew, the storm, you know, just right on down the line there. Same storm, and one person's house stood and one person's house fell. So it's not the storm that decides whether your house falls or not. Same storm came to both persons' house. The person that was a doer of the word, he heard, his house didn't fall. The person that was only a hearer but then didn't act on the word, their house fell. So the storms of life do not defeat us. The storms of life come to all of us. It's what we do in the storm that determines whether we're defeated or not. If we act on the word we've heard, then we overcome. If we don't act on the word we've heard, then the storms of life defeat us. But it's what we did, not the storm in and of itself. Neither do the storms of life make us strong. You know, you hear that all the time. Well, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I beg to differ. There are a lot of broken people all over the world where something didn't kill them, but it broke them. It broke their family. It broke their mind. It broke their marriage. It broke their life. And they've been living broken for years and years and years and years. Storms of life don't make us strong. If they did, we'd all be strong. You know, that's like saying weights and barbells make you strong. No, they don't. It's when you pick up those barbells and you use them and, you know, do something with them, that's when your muscles increase. Amen. Margaret's had several of those, what do you call them? Running machines? What do you call it? Treadmill, thank you. Until I don't know much. I'd spend much time around the old treadmill, you know. Not one of them has increased me and made me stronger. You know why? Because they were at my house. If you added it all up together, years and years, the three or four or five that we've had over the years, years and years and years and years, and all total, I spent 6 hours on those years and years and years with the treadmill. Did me very little good. Now, it's what you do in the midst of the storm that determines whether you overcome or not. Amen. Now, but here's what I really want us to see. One person acted on the word. One person didn't act on the word. You're a mature group. Why did one act and one didn't act? Not act. The reason people hear the word and don't act on it is because they don't have a revelation of the word they heard. They don't have revelation of the knowledge they heard. Both heard, so why did one have a... In other words, if you're a doer of the word, it's because the word has gained entrance into your heart. It's alive and real on the inside of you. It's a rhema word in your heart. You got it in your heart. You believe what it says with all your heart. And when that storm comes, glory to God, your foundation is firm and strong, and you act on the word right in the midst of the storm. If you're not acting on the word, it's because it's not deep in your heart. I mean, that's obvious just from what we know. Amen? Amen? So, why did one have a revelation and why did one not have a revelation? Well, this gives us a little secret to it right here. It says in verse 48, the man that was a hearer and a doer of the word he heard, says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation. Who dug deep? He dug deep. He dug deep. He See, they didn't have concrete back in those days, so you gotta dig down there and get away from that loose topsoil and gravel and all that kind of stuff, and you gotta hit something that gives you a firm foundation. Sometimes today people will literally, you know, we pour concrete footers. That's in essence you're building your house on a rock. Because you gotta have, everybody knows you have to have a good foundation. Even if you don't know anything about construction, we understand and realize you gotta have a good foundation. And so this man dug deep means that he, that spiritually, we're talking about you got to dig deep to get a revelation. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. When you have a revelation, you'll act in the midst of the storm and you'll be unshakable and you'll be fixed and firm. But you won't give a revelation unless you dig deep. I'm talking about dig deep into the truths of God's word. It won't be a reality unless you dig deep. Hearing the word occasionally and casually, and not paying much attention to it, and letting it go in one ear and then out the other, and not really ever studying it, meditating upon it, and really focusing your attention on the Word of God, is like the man that is not digging deep. F.F. Bosworth, you know, who is well known for his healing ministry, he said, most Christians feed their bodies 3 warm meals a day, and they feed their spirits 2 cold snacks a week. Never reading your Bible, never studying, never meditating, never focusing on the truth of God's Word, or just grabbing a scripture out of the promise box, or reading one chapter a day so you can check it off and say, I did my duty, without really knowing and understanding what you read, that is not digging deep. But when I look at the Word of God, and I'm hungry for what it says, and I read it carefully, and I read it studiously, and I read it, and I meditate in it, excuse me, and I study and I read it and look at it and study it and read it and keep hearing it and mutter it to myself and talk it to myself, that's digging deep. And when you do that, it'll get on the inside of you and you'll believe it. There's one right there. excuse me while I have a coughing. I'm not going to confess that. Amen. And when it gets on the inside of you as a revelation, then you build. Then you will act on the truth of God's word, and no matter what, you see, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You will not do that unless the word has gained interest into your heart. You will not do that unless you have a revelation of the word of God. And the revelation comes as you meditate in the word of God. Sometimes when I read the Bible, you know, I like to read the Bible. You know, I mean, I like to read it straight through. I'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John straight through. I'm not opposed to that. You know, some people talk about that. But you know, if you don't do that, there'll be whole passages of the Bible you never read. But sometimes when I'm reading it, sometimes I very seldom ever read over a chapter. Because I'll just be reading and studying in that one chapter. And I might not go but 3 verses in it. Then I look up all kind of things and run cross references and meditate on that chapter and study that out and think about it. And when I'm particularly want to know when I'm particularly dealing with a problem, like if I had financial problems, and I'm just going to look at financial scriptures, and I'm going to read those and think about those and meditate on those scriptures, and you know, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's my God, my God. He's my God. He may be your God, but He's my God. My God shall. That's the strongest way you can say it. My God will. He shall. He absolutely will. Shall supply. I know from studying that means He'll fill to the full. He'll fill to overflowing. As the Amplified Bible says, He will richly. What does it say? Does anybody have Amplified? He will fill to overflowing. He will richly supply. My God. My God. He's my God. And He shall. He will do this for me. He will richly supply. He will abundantly supply all my need. Oh, glory. According to His riches in glory by Christ. Because of what Jesus did for me. See, I'm meditating in the Word. I'm thinking about those scriptures. And it gets on the end. I just like that. You get so full of it, they can't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. You're like a sponge that's saturated. If you saturate a sponge and you squeeze it, nothing comes out but water. Now you pick up an old dry sponge and you squeeze it, ain't nothing coming out because there ain't nothing in there. And a lot of people, when they get squeezed by the problems of life, there's nothing in there to come out. But when you get full of the Word of God, then it just makes all the difference. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So when you give the Word of God that kind of attention, when you dig deep, then it'll get inside of you. Many, many times in life. Stand up with me. Many, many times in life. Many, many times in life. The final step. Everybody say the final step. Stand up with me. Everybody say the final step. Many, many times in life. Listen to me. I got you standing just to make you feel like we're about to quit because I'm going to go on for a minute. Many, many, many times, the final step to victory is to just persevere and stand in faith. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's through faith and patience, through faith and perseverance. You know, you know that. The word patience there means that you don't quit believing in the face of obstacles, in the face of trouble, in the face of contradictions, in the face of delays. Delay is not denial. Can you say amen? So sometimes the final step to victory is just to persevere and stand in faith. Amen. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And there have been many, many, many times in my life and in Margaret's life where there was nothing else to do but to, having done all to stand, stand. Nothing else you could do unless the Spirit of God leads you to do something, and sometimes He might. Nothing else to do. And while I was standing and persevering and refusing to give up, glory to God, things got worse. Or I received a terrible report. Or a deadline passed. Amen. But I just continued to stand and trust in the Lord with all my heart and to not lean. Yeah, but the deadline passed. Yeah, but the deadline. That's the devil trying to put the light out. The deadline passed. Not mine. We ain't playing no nine-inning ball game. We're playing till we win. It's my Father's bat, it's my Father's ball, and He's the judge, and we ain't quitting. And if I don't quit, all things being equal, I cannot be defeated. And so and ultimately won the story, won the victory. But the reason that I could do that is because I had dug deep in that word, whatever word that was alive and real in my heart as light and revelation. I know when we were needed financing for this building, to make a long story very, very short, I promise. The final word from the banker is no. You're turned down. You can't get it. And there's no place to go. And there's no place to turn to. Been easy to quit. Been easy to make up some excuse. We'd already given up our other building. End up somewhere where we shouldn't have been, out of the will of God, having to start over again, so to speak. Probably lose people over it. You know, easy to quit. Amen. But we stood our ground. We stood our ground. We stood our ground. And they did loan us the money. And we paid it off. And we paid it off relatively fast. And in the early, now we've spent more money on it since then. But in those early years, because you know they're in essence saying you can't afford to pay it. You know, you can't afford to make these payments. You can't afford to make your new light bill is going to be more than your whole building and your light bill and everything else altogether. And that we made our payments, never was late on one of them, made them, paid it off in 12 years. And during those early years, spent another $400,000 on the building. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll never be disappointed. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. So that's why we emphasize this particular point all the time, that we need to dig deep. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you can look at it a thousand ways, and we won't anymore tonight. Say, I'm digging deep. And the Spirit of God makes alive and real. To my spirit. Eternal truths. From God's word. Amen, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.